about 2 o'clock, and now there's about 25 minutes.
Oh, that's
to
fine.
Town.
And we're in Blair, Nebraska now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay. What is your name?
When I left Denmark, that was Abelone Nielsen. N-I-E-L-S-E-N. A-B-E-L-O-N-E.
Abelone.
Yeah. Just kind of like a fish, mm-hmm. to say.
How did you get that name?
From my grandmother.
Any reason?
Well, that was my grandmother's name, and that certainly was the time the... I could only have one name, so I couldn't take another name, and they called me Abby over here. That's what they called me, Abby.
Abby.
Abby, A-B-B-I-E.
Abby.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, then, of course, since I got married, now that we were married in 1920. And that would be 57 years ago. Then they all start to use their first name. They always
yes.
called me Mrs. C.B. That called my husband C.B. So they have started to say, call me Abby, because the other name, I never could say that right. And it would be Abelone. And one time, even from the courthouse here in Blair, he left out the A.
Oh no.
Baloney.
Oh no.
I told them so I thought better to call me Abby. Mm.
You came to this country in 1911.
Yeah. Well, you have pretty much of me in this here.
Mm-hmm. Could you?
With that minister. And they promised then I went to study and I thought I was going to be a nurse, yeah. As far as I got.
Oh, you were born in Herning.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Have you?
Yes.
When did you
1968, and I was there in 1973.
And I was there in, I came over in 1911, and I was in Denmark in the visit 17 and 18. That's before I was married, and then we were married in 20. And then we were there in 1973. Well, I wouldn't talk too long. Because we were in Australia the first 3 years after we were married.
Oh.
To work among the, all the Danes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the third generation.
Did they still speak Danish?
No. That's the first he decided when we got there to use the English language. We wouldn't have had any. We did have a Sunday school, but it was supported by our church. But let me not get into that. I get into too many things.
Could you speak English when you came to this country?
No. I learned that in Chicago.
How?
Went to evening school.
Evening school.
And then I took a job, and then I sewed, and I got to belong to a church. Of course, and then at that church that was Danish, and I had a Sunday school class, started that soon after because the parents was Danish and they wanted the children to learn Danish, and I had a little Sunday school class of children, such a sweet girls, 6 and 8. The church was far away from where Linden lived. We had to take 3 different streetcars.
Oh.
So I stayed out around the church and visited there.
Mm.
And just imagine, about a month or two ago, a girl wrote to me that was in that class in 1912 and was married to a Dane. And she sent me a bouquet of roses. It's China. I have them here. I value them very much. She's now a widow. She married a Dane, so she must have kept it up. She had such a nice home, and I came there often and sang and played with the children. And then she sent me that gift and wrote about her family. She's a widow. Her husband died, but I think he done real well. He was a trucker, she said.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you taught Danish in the Sunday school.
Yeah, that's what we did at that time. Because At that time in all the church, the Germans was by themselves, and the Danes by themselves, and Sweden and Norway even was separated. Mm. So of course that was very important. Uh-huh. And then that was 1911 and 12, 13, and 14, 15 was when I came to Dana the first year.
But before that, you worked with...
1913. Uh-huh. I was down at Oaks. They needed so much a helper. And I went down there, paid my own fare down, and got in on a homesick ticket for $10 round trip.
Now, what do you remember?
Are you recording this?
Yes. It's painless.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Well, that was Mrs. Linden who helped me to that ticket.
Uh-huh.
And I was down there and I worked almost from 5 in the morning till, oh, late evening. They had just 3 weeks for the church to be dedicated, and I helped before that.
Oh, no.
Even put the velvet around the church, kneeling. And they had given me that to take down there from Chicago. Well, then and I got a quilt for that, $3 quilt they made. Well, I still have some a couple of them here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was stolen in the basement of in Chicago. I had it in my front truck there.
And someone
trunk.
Stole it.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
But. Anyway, then I was down in 1914-15, and the church decided then they were going to start a children's home or boarding house for the children at Oaks. In 1913, there was one teacher down there, and she had about 85 children in a mission school, all 8 grades. She lived here in Blair many years after that. All 8 grades. Her name was Margaret Nelson. At the time she was a teacher, and she married Mr. Ova Anderson and lived here. Some of her good friends, many years.
What was Mr. Anderson's first name?
Ova.
Ova.
Ova Anderson, O-V-E.
O-V-E.
Yeah. And then they got 2 teachers after that. Oh, I know the name of several teachers, but there isn't time for that. Yeah. One of them I should mention, Nana Nelson. She spent about her whole life down there.
Oh.
Well, in 15 and 16, I was back in Chicago to sew and earn more money. I had saved $500 those first 3 years, and it took about that 1 year at the college.
Yeah.
And then it was the Gaby Christiansen was his name. He was the head of it. UELC church. And the Visti, he was one of the board members, came to Chicago and was going to hire me to take care of the boarding house. They were going to start a boarding house that had been decided at the convention. And they hired me for $25. I was to start in the year of, it started in 15.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me to come 1 week before school started to get an old shack ready. And it was an old shack. Of course, most of the Indians lived with roof boards around. And we rented a house, or they rented it before I came, for $3 a month. And then we, mm-hmm. I ought to tell about the trip there. I came to Siloam Springs in the evening, stayed there overnight because I'd been there before. Reverend Nelson was driving horses and couldn't go in every time to get a teacher or someone. So I found out there was a man there for truck to haul freight. And if I could get on that car back to Oakia. We started out at 8 in the morning. And we couldn't hardly drive fast because they had an old stove for Mrs. Nelson, so I could have the new stove for Mrs. Nelson, so I could have the old stove for the boarding house.
Oh.
It had a hole for a woman, but I could still use it for the children. And the first thing we did when we got that put up was to scald that house all around those boards with boiling water, heat water. And then we nailed on clods, old gunny sacks, and whatever we could get on the boards. And we got paper from Montgomery West, three cent roll, and hung paper over that.
Oh.
And, oh yeah, my bed, I brought my bedding. And my bed was one that had been in a fire, but it had good legs yet. So they made slats, an even bottom, and a mattress of corn shucks and flour sacks, and opened like that, and so I could just shake it up a little bit each night. And that's what I slept on. To start with, we had a doctor's daughter, the only doctor. Her mother was a Cherokee. At that time, the Cherokee inherited. I feel to put that in because they talk about Indian, how they were mistreated. But the states had a certain amount for the Indians when they came. So they were moved from South Carolina somewhere. Oh, I used to have it on paper, but I haven't kept it. I don't have this so perfectly in there, but anyway, then we were going on our way to Salem Springs, or in that wagon, and walked uphill and downhill. I'd sit in the trap a little bit, but not much. And at noon we stopped and had lunch. The horses had to feed, bought a can of fish and a box of crackers. That was our noon lunch. And then we got out to Oaks. It's about 25 miles, I would say,
yes,
from Salem Springs to Oaks at 4 o'clock. I was just sick.
But it and took you asked all day much, long to go
how
that
much list. I owed him. I think I had that in there. I thought that's the best joke of it all. Because he got, I think, a cent for 2 pounds. So I figured out how much I weighed, and my trunk weighed, my suitcase weighed, and that's what I paid. I think I figured 200 pounds, and I paid $1 or something like that, or maybe I paid 2 cents a pound.
Oh,
but
dear.
I got out there for that. Oh, they laughed at that when I told him. He was kind of innocent fella.
Well, you wrote here, I asked how much I owed him, and he said he got a penny for each 2 pounds. So I figured out that my weight was 125 pounds, and my trunk 25 pounds, and I paid him 75 cents.
Well, there I got it, I thought.
Yes. Oh, dear. Why did you ever leave Denmark?
Well, that's a question that's kind of hard to answer. But when you, I'll be true, I just felt taught I had a call to do missionary work. And they told me when they were home, my father had gone to school with his wife, that here was just a chance that I could come over and earn the money to go to school. And I had a good home, and I was used to house work in the field and everything at home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, oh, I could keep.
Oh, before you go on, what was your father's name?
Niels Christian Madsen.
Niels Christian Madsen.
And it was at a time that they changed the first name to the last name.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Niels, and he got permission for that. And that's the most mixed up of anything, you know.
And what was your mother's maiden name?
Karen Maria. Now, she came from Slumstrup, but that was the, she had been at a home in Denmark where her parents belonged to the same family for 300 years. But this, what her name was, I can't recall right now, but it was in a big farm home that had been in the same family that was put out, divided into three places.
What did you think of this strange new land you came to?
Well, I thought they were pretty nice.
you also must have thought we needed missionary work.
Well, she was telling me too especially about the old mission, and I started to tell how they started out there.
Oh.
And I hadn't done much. Well, when I came, I told her now how we got the house ready. Saying we got a doctor's daughter and another girl, Cherokee, and we had two to start with. Later on, we got two more, so we had four. I shared my bed with the two Cherokee children that came later. And that was the first year. And then I paid for old furniture from Chicago, Blinden's. He gave me a set of dishes. And when I came down there, Mrs. Nelson had never had a set of dishes, whole set. And I had to have pots and pans to cook in, and I had to have dishes to serve the children in. So I let her have that set of dishes, and I got her old dishes, and I got the one to cook potatoes in. I remember they had a little hole I had to put straw in each day, so the water would run out. That's the way I started cooking. Well, that's the way we got along the first year. And then I paid $20 for freight for some old furniture Linden's had in their basement. He had it created and sent to the depot. I never know how much. And I bought an organ for $10. That was a dresser, an organ, and some chairs, I remember. And that was the second year. And
did you play the organ?
I tried to. I took some lessons, but I was never a good player.
Uh-huh.
You've got to start that before you're 20. I was just 20 when I came to this country.
Oh.
But the Sunday school superintendent got me in Salem Springs. And because then the organ, he had room for the organ and he could use the organ so he could learn to play. And I paid $20 for the freight down there on my own money.
Mm-hmm.
And $10 for the organ, all that was left down there at Oaks, of course.
What did you teach the Indian children?
I just took care of the boarding house.
Well, you just took care of the boarding house.
Oh, yeah. See, the next year I had about six children. And then I was in Denver 17 and 18. And I was back in 1918 when the flu epidemic was there. I'm telling you about that in here.
It's in the paper.
Yeah, and that was the hardest year of them all. I was almost a nervous wreck because there were some boys that came to that old shack and made noise and threw things up on top. I saw three die in one family because I acted as night nurse and the teacher acted to make the meals for those that couldn't. I was so sick. And that's the way they closed the school at once when they started to get the flu there.
Oh, dear. I'll keep this up here so you can see it. The time, it's about 1:45. Do you have to get ready?
Yeah. Well, I have to fix my hair a little bit, but I have all and everything else ready.
Ah.
And there was a teacher staying with me that night. But one night they started to shoot around there. I would stay in the playground till it got dark with a bunch of children. I had about eight. It was so crowded in that old house. Two boys slept up at Reverend Nelson's, but they had meals down there. I cooked for them too. Of course, I had to learn to make butter yeast and bread and made biscuits in the morning. Got up at five, make biscuits in the morning.
You mentioned some people shot around the house.
Well, some of them started to shoot outside, and sort of when Nelson came, was around, and the children went to bed without lights on. But we still had that noise, and this night, a teacher stayed down there with me, and she's still living. She's in Iowa, just wrote her. And she heard that noise, and we were close by the open window. There were low windows, and just a screen we had to have open.
Yeah.
And she put her head out the window and said, "Miss Abby, where's your gun?" And he got quiet.
Oh, were they shooting at you?
Well, they were just knew I had all those girls in there. And so it's 117. We had to send her home. And that doctor's daughter I mentioned, she was there for 4 years and graduated in 1918. And I had to watch every letter they got to see if they got, there wasn't a name on there I shouldn't give them to the big girls. See, the boys was after those Cherokee girls that, because they had money,
yeah.
They inherited money. See, Lucretia's father told me that himself. Then when I left, instead for me to go back on the mail car, he took me in his car, about the only one that had a car, and thanked me how much we had done for his daughter. And after she left there, the boy had gotten her in a car with horses, and they were going to get married, but he found out about it. See, his wife was dead, but this girl stayed in the same house as he did. And he caught up with him, and he took his girl and sent him, if I remember right, it was to Virginia, at the girl's school. Had to pay way more. And he really did that to show his appreciation for what she had gotten at Oaks, not just to me, but to the mission school at Oaks.
Just that's two more questions. When did you come to Dana College?
14 and 15.
And you took courses here?
Yeah.
The other thing, where did you meet your husband?
At the college.
Was he a student?
Yeah.
And his first name is?
Christian.
And
Bernard, or Christian B. Larson. That's
Christian B. Larson.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got to get.
Then I worked there this summer. Oh, I have to tell about that because I was to be a hired man, you know. Reverend Nelson had his vacation. He went to the convention, had his vacation with a brother visiting Michigan. And I got up at Reverend Nelson, offered me $10 if I would stay in the summer, and I said I would. I thought I did mission work. And we got up at 3 in the morning. I had 3 cows led to a pasture about a mile away. And then an old man would harvest it like in Denmark, and I would bundle it up and tie it. And when we got through with Reverend Nelson's pasture, then we did the same for him. I did that for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came, we quit about 3. I walked a mile back home with the cows, took them back, and then I had to go back another half mile where he had 3 horses, and caught the 2 of them. I got on the back of one and let another one, and the third one would follow, and took them to the water in the creek. Oh, I don't know how far that was, some distance. But I was on the back of the horse and took them back to the pasture. I think I was the only one down there that could catch them. And then I took him back to that pasture, other half mile home. It was about 6 o'clock, and then I had supper. Mrs. Nelson had a supper ready, and she got up and fixed my meals in the morning before it started. But we had to do it that early before it got hot, you see.
Now, how tall are you?
Well, I'm the smallest in the family. Oh,
but
between 5'4", something like that.
About 5'4", and you weighed 125 pounds, and you hired out as a field farmhand at $10 for how long?
And then when I come to Chicago, and after that month was gone, the church board heard I had been there, and they sent me $25 left for debtors.
Oh.
And I said to Mrs. Linden, what would you do? She said, I would keep the $25 and send the 10 back to them. That's how we did it.
Oh, how wonderful. And you do. Do you remember a prayer or a poem in Danish you could say for us? I just want to get that accent up around Herning.
Oh, you mean in Denmark?
Yes, in Danish. Do you know a Danish poem or a Danish prayer you could say for us?
Say nærmer tiden, da jeg må væk, jeg hører vinteren stemme. Måske jeg kun her på trip, og har brændet stedet hjemme. We got that whole Danish poem from Denmark not too long ago. We sent for it.
Oh, Thank you.